Good morning and welcome to Holly Grove Lutheran Church. We are grateful for your presence among us, all of you who are here in person and all of you who are joining us online. It's hard to believe, but the first Sunday in May. Math and confirmation. They have 35 days until school's out. That does include weekends. 24 days not including weekends. So ready or not, summer is on its way. But because today is the first Sunday in May, we have our basket offering. And the basket offering this month is going to the Teen Parent Program. So that'll happen after the offering plate goes around. Couple things going on this week at church. Tomorrow is our last grief group session. We've been gathering together the past few months, and tomorrow we'll finish our formal time together, although my hope is that the relationships that have been built will continue. Also tomorrow evening is church council. A week from tomorrow is the women's banquet, and I think they are making lots of plans that it should be a really lovely evening. Dinner will be catered by Southern Lunch, and then Bruce Tippett will be providing a piano performance. So tickets are $10. Today is the last day to RSVP. You don't have to be a member to come, so we're hoping that you invite your friends or, you know, your daughter-in-law, granddaughters. If you want to talk to Kim Troutman or Marie Palmer after church for RSVPs, I think they would be so happy to include you in that number. We have a note of gratitude from Keith and Lori Cecil. Yesterday, there was a Lauren's Ladder event. It was a lovely outdoor concert event from 3 to 9 at Breeden's Amphitheater. And Keith and Lori say, thank you to everyone that supported the Lauren's Ladder fundraiser yesterday, which was in honor of Lauren's 21st birthday, which would be this Thursday, May 11th. The support from our church family means more than you can imagine. We were able to present $50,000 to Family Services of Davidson County, and they feel certain that they reached that goal and maybe even more. So it was a wonderful, wonderful event. And I kept thinking of Lauren and what a wonderful 21st birthday party that was to celebrate the gift of her life. We have a few birthdays, anniversaries, and baptism remembrances this week. Scott Black, he's all the way at the back. Scott Black has a birthday. Chad and Caroline Hedrick have an anniversary. And then those remembering their baptism this week are Maddie Lore Pope and William Curry. Let us pray. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand, and comfort them when they are discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall, and in their hearts, may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And then finally, we have a prayer shawl this morning. This is for Drew Pardee, a young man who is a friend of Todd and Amy Kepley, who's going through some really difficult medical challenges right now. And so they want to offer this prayer shawl to him. Let us pray. God, we thank you that you always hear us when we come to you in prayer, that you hear the cries of our hearts, the cries of our words, and the cries of our eyes when we shed tears. We thank you for the prayer shawl ministry here at Holly Grove Lutheran Church, for all of those who give the gift of yarn, for those who offer their time and energy to make these prayer shawls, and for all of those who so generously offer their love and prayers as they are passed around, so that when folks receive these, they are truly receiving the gift of love and prayer. We lift up to you Drew and ask that you would be with him in all that he is going through. Make your presence known to him that he might feel your love surrounding him, and that he might feel the love and care we have for him here at Holly Grove Lutheran Church. In Jesus' name, amen. And we have an update on, I don't have a lot of information about Bobby Waitman, but I do know that he is at the rehab center at Lexington Healthcare, and that he would like visitors. So if you have the opportunity just to stop by, even for a few minutes, he would appreciate that. Bonnie Hedrick is offering our prelude this morning, so let us prepare our hearts as we listen to the prelude. By whose hand we are given new birth, by whose speaking we are given new life. Amen. Joined to the waters of Christ in baptism, we are welcomed, restored, and supported as citizens of the new creation. Let us give thanks for the gift of baptism. Holy God, holy and merciful, holy and mighty, you are the river of life. You are the everlasting wellspring. In mercy and might, you have freed us from death and raised us with Jesus, the firstborn of the dead. In baptismal waters, our old life is washed away, and in them we are born anew. Glory to you for oceans and lakes, for rivers and streams. Honor to you for waters that wash us clean, quench our thirst, and nurture both crops and creatures. Praise to you for the life-giving water of baptism, the outpouring of the Spirit of the new creation. Wash away our sin and all that separates us from you. Empower our witness to your resurrection. Strengthen our resolve in seeking justice for all. Satisfy the world's need through this living water. Where drought dries the earth, bring refreshment. Where despair prevails, grant hope. Where chaos reigns, bring peace. We ask this through Christ, who with you and the Spirit reigns forever. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, your Son, Jesus Christ, is the way, the truth, and the life. Give us grace to love one another, to follow in the way of his commandments, and to share his risen life with all the world. For he lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
The New Testament lesson today is from 1 Peter. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. Come to him, a living stone, though rejected by mortals, yet chosen and precious in God's sight. And like living stones, let yourselves be built into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, "See, I'm lying in Zion, a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. To you then who believe, he is precious. But for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders reject has become the very head of the corner, and a stone that makes them stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the word, and they were destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to John, the 14th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him, and you have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied." But Jesus said to him, "Have I been you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? But I have seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Since there are no young children here this morning, we will not have a children's sermon, and you saw the older kids get so excited to go away for children's church. I love the friendship that each of them share. And do we ever really grow too old to have some fun, to do some crafts, and to enjoy learning about God? Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father and Mother, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. If I were to have done a children's message this morning, I was going to use the image of God that is offered in this First Peter passage, God being a nursing mother. I know some of us struggle thinking about God as mother because more often than not, God is referred to as Father in Scripture. But Jesus offers us, and the New Testament writers offer us, many, many instances of thinking about God as mother. And the author of this First Peter passage refers to God as a nursing mother. And I think of the tenderness and the intimacy that a nursing mother shares with her child. Those moments of deep connections, those moments of literally pouring yourself out for the nourishment and goodness of your child, and how God desires and longs for that connection for us and with us, and how God continually pours God's self out for our nourishment and for our good. So, just a little tidbit of what I was going to offer. But to our gospel lesson today. Time is a strange thing, isn't it? Although it doesn't actually speed up or slow down, it does feel that time goes by so quickly sometimes, and then at other times it drags along so very slowly. I don't know if you ever experienced times where you can't really remember which day it is because the days sort of blur together, or you can't quite remember what the date is because it all sort of melds into one. I'm sort of at the point in my life where if somebody were to say to me, you know, 10 years ago, I'm still thinking like 1993, 1994, when in fact that was 30 years ago and not just 10. So time is this really strange thing. And so it is in the church calendar as well. You know, just as we might forget what day it is from time to time, so we can forget where we are in the church calendar. And that happened to me this week as I was studying this passage. Because this passage that we just read is Jesus spending time with his disciples the night in which he was betrayed. Right? Jesus had washed the feet of his disciples. He had given them a new commandment to love one another as he loved them. He shared his last meal with them that evening and instituted the Lord's Supper. He foretold the betrayal of Judas. He predicted the denial of Peter. And at the point where this passage starts, Judas had already left the upper room. And so in all of these events that are taking place, we are transported back to the intensity of Maundy Thursday. But we're hearing this text on the fifth Sunday in Eastertide, which kept me asking this week, why did the lectionary pick up this story, the story of Maundy Thursday, four Sundays after Easter? And I wonder if it's perhaps because we are an Easter people. We all live this side of the resurrection. And maybe it's only through the lens of the resurrection that we can receive these words of promise and hope and assurance from Jesus. So back to Maundy Thursday and all that the disciples and Jesus had experienced that evening, and Jesus, completely knowing what was to come, said to his disciples with a tenderness and a compassion that we can't quite pick up with just the written word. Jesus says to them, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not let your hearts be troubled." Now that sounds really nice, but we all know at times that it is much easier said than done. When our hearts are troubled, we can't just say to ourselves, "Don't be troubled, don't be troubled, don't be troubled." But we cannot forget that the one who offers these words to us knows what it is to have his own heart troubled. The same word that's used in this passage for a troubled heart is used three times in the book of John. At the death of Jesus' friend Lazarus, as Jesus anticipated his crucifixion, and as he predicted Judas' betrayal of him. All three of these things, the loss of a dear friend, an impending painful death, and the betrayal of one close to him, Jesus knows what it is to be troubled in heart and spirit. And to his disciples in the upper room that night, he says, "Do not let your heart be troubled." And then with the same tenderness and compassion, he goes on to say, "Believe in God, believe also in me." This might better be translated as, "Keep on trusting in God, and keep on trusting in me." The word that is often translated as believe is also translated as trust. And in Greek, there's a verb tense that's an ongoing, continuous action, which we don't have in English, but I think it's really important to note in this passage that Jesus says, "Keep on trusting in God, and keep on trusting in me." Because in challenging circumstances, in chaotic times, when everything you know is about to be or has been turned upside down, we're called to keep on trusting in God and to keep on trusting in Jesus. And Jesus then goes on to offer them a reason to keep on trusting. He provides them assurance that their relationship with him will be ongoing, that it cannot be severed by death. In fact, he goes to prepare a place for them, so that even though death will cause a physical separation from Jesus, the bond of love that they share with him cannot be broken. He offers them in this troubled night a promise of hope for life after death, and the promise that they will be with him. And while Jesus is attempting to comfort and assure his followers, Thomas and Philip speak up with questions that, if we're honest with ourselves, we ask too. they ask what and how and where. Jesus, what are you doing to prepare? And by the way, how will you return? And Jesus, where really are you going? But despite their questions, despite their not understanding, despite everything, Jesus reminds them and us, not with words of judgment or condition, but with words of comfort and promise, that God from the very, very beginning has wanted to be in relationship with us, and that in Jesus, the Word made flesh, God incarnate, God has come to dwell with humankind. And that promise remains and it continues even when Jesus goes to the Father. Jesus says he goes to prepare an abiding place, and he isn't talking about a place far off in the sky. He's actually referring to a place to dwell in God's very being, in the very presence of God. I know this can be hard to grasp because for centuries this passage has been misinterpreted to be sort of some mansion in the sky, but that's not what Jesus is talking about. He's not talking about an actual physical place. He's not talking about a physical structure. He's talking about the very presence of God and what it means to be so intimately bound and connected to God that we would dwell and reside within God's very being. Now, this shift of thinking, this abiding place that Jesus goes to prepare, it's not a mansion in the sky. It's not a bedroom in God's house. It's a place to abide in God. And if we think about it, Jesus has actually been referring to this all along. In John 2, Jesus called the temple his Father's house, and then he declared that he would replace the temple with his very self. A little bit later in John 14, Jesus says, "Abide in me. Abide in me," because Jesus is referring to a place of complete unity with the Father. And he is the way because he is God, God in flesh. And so when we abide in Jesus, we abide in God. God has come to dwell with us in Christ. And because Christ is God, we will also dwell with God, not in a physical dwelling place, but a place within God's very being, an abiding place where we will dwell with God for all of eternity. From the very beginning, God has desired to dwell with God's people, and Jesus makes this happen. This intimate relationship with God, it began in our baptism when we were baptized in Christ. We were welcomed into God's family, and God made us God's very own children. And also in our baptism, we were filled with the Holy Spirit. In Christ, God came to dwell with us. And then God has given us the Holy Spirit who dwells within us. At the end of this passage, Jesus says, "Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me, the one who trusts in me, will also do the works that I do. And in fact, will do greater works than I do." Jesus is charging us to continue his work in the world, to continue to reveal God's love for the world that God so loves. And if you think about it, this is the mission we are given in baptism, to let our light so shine that others may see our good works and glorify God in heaven. Life is hard, brothers and sisters, and our hearts do get troubled. Our hearts, the hearts of our loved ones, the hearts of all of those all around the world. Each week the prayer list grows in our bulletin, and so does the prayer list that we carry in our hearts and minds. And the words that Jesus gave to his disciples that night he was betrayed are the same words that Jesus gives us today. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Keep on trusting in God, and keep on trusting in me. And then he takes it just a little bit further and charges us with the call to continue to make God and God's love known in all the world, so that others can also keep on trusting in God and keep on trusting in Jesus too. May we live out Jesus' words of comfort and hope and assurance in our lives and for the sake of the world. Amen.
Living together in hope and trust, let us confess our faith with the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven and was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures.
He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. United in the hope and joy of the resurrection, let us pray for the church, the world, and all in need. God of life, strengthen your church to proclaim your gospel even in times of trouble. Bless all pastors and deacons and strengthen them for their bridge-building ministry between church and world. Risen Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Creating God, you show your steadfast love through mighty waters, towering mountains, verdant fields, and arid deserts. Protect the earth's diverse habitats from the forces of pollution, erosion, extinction, and global warming. Risen Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Mighty God, your Spirit guides us into all truth. Give wisdom to world and local leaders and organizations as they begin, build, or renew relationships. Strengthen leaders and aid organizations in areas needing to be rebuilt following conflict, unrest, or natural disaster. Risen Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Loving God, you make your home among us. Abide with refugees, those experiencing homelessness, those fleeing from war and poverty, and all who question if there is a home in your heart. We pray for all who are sick, especially Dean, the family of Gary McLean, Bill, Boyd, Scott, Paul and Carolina, the family of Walt Anderson, Nancy, John, Karen, Mickey, Kent, Bobby and Jana, our friends and family listed in the bulletin, and those we now name aloud on our lips or silently in our hearts. Risen Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Assuring God, you accompany your people amid uncertainty and change. Uphold people in this community who have recently moved, changed jobs or schools, retired, or are going through transitions of any kind. Lead us in your ways, risen Lord, in your mercy. Renewing God, you gather the saints at your holy, heavenly banquet. We give you thanks for the care shown us by those who have gone before us. Grant confidence and comfort for all awaiting the place you have prepared. Risen Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
Rejoicing in the victory of Christ's resurrection, we lift our prayers and praise to you, Almighty and eternal God, through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. I invite you to share Christ's peace with those around you. Thank you.
Let us pray. Generous
God, in this meal you offer your
very self. We give thanks for these gifts of the earth. In the breaking of bread, reveal us the risen one. In the pouring of this wine, pour us out in service to the world. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, for the glorious resurrection of our Savior Jesus Christ, the true Paschal Lamb who gave himself to take away our sin, who in dying has destroyed death and in rising has brought us to eternal life. And so with Mary Magdalene and Peter and all the witnesses of the resurrection, with earth and sea and all their creatures, and with angels and archangels, cherubim and seraphim, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory, full of your glory,
mighty and merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love you sent to us Jesus your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who on the cross opened his arms to all. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all who share this heavenly food, the body and blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. When we eat this blood, we share in the body of Christ. And when we drink this cup, we share in the blood of Christ. Let us say together, reveal yourself to us, O Lord, in the breaking of bread, as once you revealed yourself to your disciples. The risen Christ invites us to this table. Come, eat, and be satisfied.
Thank you.
the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Amen.
Let us pray.
Gracious God, in you we live and move and have our being. With your word and this meal of grace, you have nourished our life together. Strengthen us to show your love and serve the world in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Amen.
Let us say our mission statement. As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world. Hallelujah. Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Go in peace. Share the good news. Alleluia.
Thanks be to God.
Alleluia. Alleluia.